Welcome to the Ute Talk Podcast. This is Grant Bagby, as always, joined by
Joseph Silverzweig. It is nice to be talking to you again after a bit of an extended absence due to circumstance beyond our control.
Right. And it just hasn't become our full-time job yet, unfortunately.
But someday. If you go to iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever else you downloaded the podcast from, and you rate us 5 stars, we'll get more listeners, and then we'll sell some ads, and then we'll retire, and we'll do the show from a beach in Cabo, Turks and Caicos. I don't know. We haven't decided what beach yet.
Let's go be an expat on some nice beach.
Yeah, fantastic. Somewhere with like really loose financial regulations. I'll figure it out. We'll keep working on it.
You get on top of that.
Nascent plan right now.
Well, like Joseph said, please go give us those reviews. And if you have feedback for us, please reach out to us at Ute Talk Podcast on Twitter, utetalk@gmail.com, and we will totally get back to you. For those of you who have mentioned some sound quality, we are getting another mic. We're going to be much better quality here on out. Hopefully today you'll see some improvement and the ongoing episodes. But let's get on. You know what we're going to first. We're going to hit our quick hitters, talk about the dead time, and then we're going to start getting into the Pac-12 media, the TV coverage, everything else that's going on, and see what we've got, see what we think about it, and what should or could happen in the future. And then most likely, probably splitting this into 2 episodes, we're definitely going to talk a lot of Pac-12 in general this time, and we'll get into more local Utah coverage in another episode. I need to learn to pronunciate a little bit better.
It's hard. It's hard to do. I always, when you can hear yourself.
It's throwing me off a little bit. All right. So, first, let's talk about the dead time it is. It's hitting the beginning of summer, really. And I'm just going to tell you what's on the schedule for the youth sporting department.
Everyone's favorite athletic activities.
Track and field, NCAA West preliminaries.
I don't even know what that is. Sounds
up. 2 weeks from now, we have the NCAA championships. The other thing going on is Washington State baseball series. And then, I mean, there's going to be more baseball mixed in, right? Because if the youths can do well in the Pac-12 tournament, maybe they get into the College World Series and then there's more games. But if you just click to the second page on the schedule, you can see football.
The word football. It's the there. Word I'm football reading is there. It right now, and I'm not going to lie. I have like a butterflies in my stomach.
You have
so
warm,
excited.
Nice feelings.
I'm doing my getting ready to roll out all my preseason articles over the next 97 days, which is how many are actually left. And I tell you, my numbers are good. They are good, and I think that my projections for Utah football will be optimistic.
Tidy run coming.
Yep. I think that's what I'm going to say. We'll see.
All right.
That's where I'm headed.
The other thing I wanted to hit on, as far as we've hit the dead zone, you know, beach volleyball ended, softball has come to an end. The other sport I wanted to talk about, just wanted to give a freshman, Blake Tomlinson, some credit in golf. He made it to the regions, got all the way through, just ended up 1 spot short of the national championship in golf.
That's
impressive. That's a heck of a lot better golf game than I have. So
got to work on the putts or getting out of the rough. I don't know.
I'm just dropping golf words. Oh,
I mean, I've watched the Masters, but
congratulations
all to right. Blake.
But hey, oh, Blake, I've got good one. Job.
I've got one. Quick hitter. Okay. The California legislature is considering a bill that will limit the salaries of head coaches to, are you ready?
Yeah.
$200,000 a year.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And it's not often I get to do this, but today I'm just going to roll my eyes and say liberals and leave it at that. That's ridiculous. So, yeah, hopefully the I'm sorry. The heavy hitters look, are going to
there's going to be an exclusion there. They're going to say, hey, you know, everyone's limited to 200,000, blah, blah, blah. Oh, by the way, men's basketball, men's football, you get to have XYZ limit.
And that's not going
to
do anything. And you've got, right, because your boosters, your big boosters, are probably the same people who are your political donors, or at least know them, because it's a small group of rich people in the world. And the states, there's the biggest base salary problem is just USC is private.
Mm-hmm.
And Stanford is private. So you've got Cal and UCLA who are this huge competitive disadvantage if this bill passes. And universities like that have a lot of lobbying pulls. So
I think the difference will be here's the other loophole in the law, right? Mm-hmm. You say 200,000 salary, and next you know it, you've incentivized that contract mm-hmm. so much that they're really getting like a
your
competitive.
Your salary is 200,000, but your car allowance is $1 million a month. That's a good lease.
Or just like, hey, you win one game this month, we throw you an extra 100,000 or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Or you
million,
do
million. Like
you know,
it takes a lot to get from
you win more 60. No, true. But, but either way, you can change that, right? The law says salary. Well, we're throwing in all these incentives and uh-huh. living stipends.
It's a terrible idea, and they will either poke enough holes in it that it won't matter, or it won't pass. But we're here to talk about the Pac-12 as an entity.
We've been teasing this for a few weeks now. And unfortunately, life has happened between me having to fight off being homeless and other craziness going on.
Both of your...
You moved, so
both
I
of
mean,
our contributors here are new homeowners, or you'll be a homeowner soon. You'll
hopefully.
Close soon. Fingers
if
crossed.
Everything goes well next week, we will be pretty
financing,
clear.
Appraisal, all that
home inspection.
Stuff. Oh my gosh, I just went through it, and I'll tell you, it's a nightmare. And
I just want it over with. I want to move
and
just
then never
be done.
Move again. Ever,
exactly.
Ever.
That's
so
the type
bad.
Of house we're buying. So, but yeah. So now it's time to talk. What we've been teasing for at least a month is the Pac-12 coverage, and it's really interesting. To look at. So let's talk TV to the start. So it seems like people are finally catching on that it's not that great.
Yeah, what's been interesting actually since we decided to talk about this is that we're starting to see organizational cracks form in the Pac-12, and we really haven't seen that. We've been talking on the show, and I think I've seen a lot on social media and just in general. A lot of criticism of Larry Scott, the way the Pac-12 is doing business, that's been going on in the media and locally and among fans for a while. But what you haven't seen until recently was the execs of the schools getting into it. And the ASU executive director, no, athletic director, this is just a week ago, the article dropped on the 18th. Was really critical, said we're keeping our eye on the revenues, they're totally unsatisfactory, we're going to be at a competitive disadvantage with the other conferences, and that's true, as we'll get into here later when we start talking about money. But what I find interesting about that is that's the first public pressure from someone who matters on Larry Scott to do better.
It makes me wonder how much private pressures there's been. Right, you can't have a fan base and the media and people discussing this for so long and not have had private pressure behind the scenes to have something happen. And it's just now it's gotten bad enough that they're willing, or it's so well known that it's an issue that it doesn't matter if they leak this, right? If this comes out from a AD, ASU AD, then, you know, it's not that big of a deal because he wouldn't let it slip if it weren't ready to go public.
Right. I don't think there's any secret anymore. Once those revenue numbers came out and they kind of trumpeted this whole record revenues, we're doing great. And then you looked at it and you compared it to the SEC and the Big Ten. You said, no, you're not. We're not doing great. And there's a real problem. Structurally, the biggest problem is just the region and the fans. And fans are not as passionate about college football as they are back east and in the south. Stadiums don't sell out the same way. The stadiums are much smaller. I mean, Tennessee, which has been a basement program for years, yeah, despite spending a huge amount of money, is still selling out their massive 110,000-seat arena. It's like a coliseum. It's unbelievable. And they're still selling out, besides being terrible. I mean, they're bad at football, but people still show up and watch, and it's this huge event. And, you know, I love our Utah football tailgates, but go to an Alabama or an Auburn or a Clemson tailgate sometimes, and these things spread over square miles, and they're huge, sometimes multi-day social events. I mean, it's just tremendous how big the difference is. And I think in the context of this conversation we're having, it's important to remember it's not something Larry Scott or any director or CEO or anybody can fix. You can't change the entire population that you're trying to appeal to, except over time by delivering a fantastic, consistent product that builds up a reputation. But it's a generational task, not a task for a few years.
But I mean, that you're spot on. It's going to take generations to get to that kind of Alabama. I mean, you're comparing it to SEC. The SEC's been around a long time. Tennessee, as an example, not that great, but they have that tradition that has been around for a long time. And I just, you know, Utah is an example, right? It just hasn't been around as long.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, it's been around for a long time, but with the tradition of tailgating and that the whole, you know, a whole Saturday is dedicated to a football game, I mean, that's part of it. Another part of it, I wonder how much is the late kicks, right? There are plenty of late kicks that are happening in the Pac-12. You don't want to spend your whole day at a football, like, I'm sorry, I'm a huge fan, but I have no desire to spend 8 a.m. to 12 midnight, whatever, to go to a game, to go to the tailgate. I got crap to do.
Right, whereas if you have a noon or a 1:30 kick, you can show up at 9 and be drunk by 11. Well, not Grant. Grant
is stone cold sober.
But I am a sinner and would be drunk by 11. And have fun. And your kids can survive if you've got kids for a few hours, yep, in a backyard, whereas, you know, try bringing a little kid anywhere for 6 hours and you will regret all your life decisions you've ever made up to that point.
It's true.
And I think some of the acuteness of the kind of crisis right now, the crisis mentality that you're seeing, is the contracts. And the contracts are up in 2023, which is only, I mean, really, it's five technically, but in terms of negotiations, it's really four seasons away. And the performance of the Pac-12 over the next 4 years is going to be what the TV negotiators are going to be looking at when they're saying, here's how much we're going to pay, here's the, you know, the kickoff times that are going to work for us. Here's whether or not you're going to get squeezed out by NAS trucks anymore. Those kinds of questions are all based on the next 4 years. And if something doesn't change, this difference is going to be almost permanently, or rather irrevocably, locked in, because the difference in the contracts is going to be just as huge as the difference in the revenues for the next 10 to 20 years, which is the typical length of these contracts. And when that happens, by the time those contracts are over, there's going to be a built-in systemic structural difference between the Big Ten and the SEC and the Pac-12. And so that's why I think the alarm bells are kind of sounding. And ultimately, it probably comes back to competitiveness. And the reason this season has been so scary was the bowl record and the basketball tournament record, which is terrible. And it's fun to be like, well, Utah was good. But we're not talking about Utah football or Utah basketball today. We're talking about the Pac-12. And Utah's not anywhere near the flagship program.
Well, they don't want us. They don't want Utah to be.
No, they want USC.
Flagship would be horrible. You want USC. You want UCLA. You, I mean, really, that's who you want. You want those two programs up at the top.
Oregon, I guess they have. Washington, you're right. But really, if Larry Scott could pick one thing to happen, it would be 15-0 USC national champ.
Well, that's what propelled the the Linear Reggie Bush days. I mean, that's what propelled the Pac-12, then back Pac-10 into this superpower conference and got them into the talk. And now it's the Pac-12, and they're just not that clear team anymore. And, you know, it's cool. I mean, it's awesome that Utah's the talk of the town, honestly. I mean, on a competitive standpoint, men's basketball and football, it's Utah's the most consistent of them all in both of those. But that's not what you want. Just like you said, you want a big program in a big city that's going to really draw record numbers of people, right? To the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, and then people watching across the country. That's what you need. That helps propel the Pac-12 up. But
and if Utah or Washington State or ASU wins 14 games next year, guess what? Still, and this is frustrating for me as for any Utah fan, I think, but I wouldn't think that the ratings would be through the roof. I wouldn't think that people would be super excited about it in a national kind of way, in the same way they would be if it was USC or Oregon who was tearing through whoever they were tearing through. So, I mean, that's kind of this perverse incentive from our perspective, but the Pac-12 wants the flagship programs to do well at the expense of the less big brand programs.
Yeah. But I mean, the tricky part is you want it to be competitive. I'm starting to wonder, like, if this continues to go the way it's going, we have 3 or 4 years of this. Is this like the Utes are in the Mountain West again?
No, I think that's too dramatic. I think we're still, and you want that. You're setting me up. But I think that's, there's still going to be a huge, huge, monumental revenue gap between where Utah will be in the Pac-12, even if nothing changes, and where a Mountain West team is. We're talking our order.
Hold on. I didn't say become the Mountain West, in my defense. I went for some dramatic flair, but
it was well done.
Could it be,
got a reaction out of me?
Could it be the Mountain West of like the Power Five, right?
Yeah, all
of
a sudden, we're saying the Power
everyone
Four
else is above, and all you've got, and then you got the Pac-12, and then you have everyone else. I mean, literally, that's how it was with the Mountain West. You had the Power Five, right? And then the Mountain West, and then everyone else. And then Utah and TCU left, BYU went independent, and now it's the Power Five, and I don't even know.
To puff ourselves up, it's interesting to think about that, because what was pulling the Mountain West up was Utah.
Well, I'll give and TCU here, some credit.
Yes, it's TCU and Utah, that's fair. Although, in terms of like record-breaking seasons or real notable seasons, TCU had one really good one, but that Utah run over Alabama was special and nationally different.
Well, and I mean, the real one was killing
Pitt.
Pitt.
Yeah,
that was the alarm bell to everyone. Uh-huh. And then Utah crushed Alabama and had that season, and that really alerted everyone even more so. And I think obviously TCU and BYU benefited, but you know, that's not the. I wasn't trying to derail our whole conversation. But
my point is that that Utah is, in the same way they did with the Mountain West, is dragging up the not the brand profile or the financial profile, but the competitive profile of the Pac-12. If it weren't Utah and it were Kansas or Texas Tech or some other, you know, kind of regional middle rung in terms of brand school, the Pac-12 would be terrible, like really, really bad. And instead, you've always got a team who's always in it. And that's been a real benefit competitively, although I think it's messed up with the kind of broader plans of the Pac-12, because we've shot USC and UCLA, Stanford a lot. I mean, we really – Utah is directly responsible for the kind of failure to – take the next step that Stanford has over the last few years, because they've beaten everybody else, and then they come to Utah, and even when Stanford's number five and Utah's a losing team, punch them right in the mouth, and it's always a dogfight, and it makes it really hard for Stanford to make the case that we can go hang with the SEC, because Utah plays that, you know, Smash Mouth style and beats Stanford or plays at their level even though they're not great. And that's a tough argument to make. So, yeah, I mean, that's a big problem
for the Pac-12. I mean, but what's the change, right? What needs to happen? Because we know the problem. I mean, fans have been talking about it for a while, that the lack of competitiveness, yada, 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 the horrible TV situation, not being on DirecTV, only being on Sling as far as the streaming services. I mean, the whole regional network thing is a ridiculous problem, and I just cannot believe the stupidity behind it. But how do you move on? Like, what's
My answer is boring. It's really boring, and it's my answer I give all the time. Nothing. The one thing that hasn't happened, the one thing that we're not seeing and that differentiates the Pac-12 from other, you know, mediocre organizations is talent. USC, Washington, Oregon, to a lesser extent, ASU, Washington State is starting to improve. Stanford should be with USC and Oregon. The recruiting is still at a very, very high level all the way across the conference. And it's not reasonable to project none of these teams recruiting top 10 classes to fail to get into the playoffs over the next 4 years. And at a certain level, it looks like bad luck. Like Washington's lack of dramatic, you know, success, although they did really well last year, with the way they recruit and the coach they have, the next 4 years they should have a real run. And the same is true of USC, and the same is true of UCLA, and the same is true of Stanford, and the same is true of Oregon. And when you add those five programs together, it's reasonable to say, as a Pac-12 executive, I think we're going to get at least one or two runs from flagship programs that are going to be things that we can show to the TV executives when 2023 rolls around. And I mean, that's a boring answer, but just keep doing what you're doing and trust that the talent is there and the teams are going to perform, and make sure you're leaning on USC not to be complacent with a 10-win season every year, because it's not good enough.
So I get for that, but what about 2023, right? We're going to get a new contract. Is the Pac-12 network gone? Is it, you know, signed off to ESPN like the SEC is done in the ACC? Is the Big Ten with ESPN too? I can't remember.
I think with Fox, but okay. And they have a very similar contractual business relationship with Fox that
SEC
have. I mean, and I may be wrong about the partners there, but the structure is the same. It's the Big Ten is a partner with a major cable network.
Yeah, and ultimately, that's what I'm wondering is if are we going to go to that? Is the Pac-12 network going to all of a sudden go to ESPN, go to Fox, CBS Sports? I mean, I don't know.
So I think that's
to somebody, is that the reality, and that helps fix things because then they can get on DirecTV and whatnot?
I think when you're looking at the structure, you think that's a fix because that's what they higher revenue leagues are doing. But when you break it down into the actual numbers, what the Pac-12 is doing is the future and is the cutting edge, which is retaining your rights, packaging it out, going per view, per subscription. That's how you make money. The most money is to do your own production and your own hosting. And that's why they did it that way, was to try and bridge as much of that competitive gap as they could. So my guess is that the SEC and the Big Ten and the ACC are going to change to the Pac-12 model.
Interesting.
And that streaming will continue to be a bit bigger and bigger part of things. And that network affiliations and relationships will matter less and less. But that doesn't solve the problem. That's just the Pac-12 has to continue to maneuver ahead of the other schools and try and cut that down. So my hope is that the Pac-12 is going to really aggressively dive into the streaming model and to really focus on that, because even though you're reaching a smaller audience, your revenue per viewer is higher and compensates for it. And I think that's the calculus they're doing now. It doesn't solve the underlying structural problems of not being the same kind of national brand as...
But that's not changing.
At the brand footprint of a university like Texas or Alabama. They've got fans all over the country who have never been to Alabama or lived in Alabama. And even USC isn't quite that way, I don't think. And I'd have to do more research. I tried to find stuff, but it's hard to find marketing research that you don't have to pay a fortune for. and there doesn't seem to be the same kind of national brand footprint that that Eastern schools have. And I think that's a big part of why they aren't able to get that DirecTV contract. And you'll see the same problem in the future with streaming focused packages and offerings. But again, that's a structural problem that you can't fix except by winning football games and basketball games and making your product better, less ads, shorter games, better kickoff times, more interesting stuff going on besides the game. And I think going to the streaming model allows them to do that, to have more control over those things. Because they could say, if they run their own network entirely, which won't happen in 2023, but will continue to be more and more, they could have games that they say, we start whenever we want to start because it's our game. And, you know, we've got our loyal $7.99 a month Pac-12 net subscribers, and that's how they get their football.
See, I think it's more the blended streaming. Like, I don't, like... Personally, I think people are going to regret this is, all the cord cutting and whatnot, and people that are going to like an HBO Now where it's $10 and you get HBO, mm-hmm. or even the ESPN Plus with their $5 a month. I think what people are going to start to realize is it gets expensive when you're just doing a la carte. And I think I've heard some people say it, but I think people need to realize that there's benefits from bundling to some extent. I mean, I'll just use Netflix as an example. I think I'm paying $12 a month, $13 bucks a month for Netflix. Well, I'm not watching everything on Netflix, right? I'm getting a cheaper price and I'm getting a whole bunch of different shows that I don't watch, right? But I'm not going to go out to Netflix and say I want to a la carte get, you know, only Daredevil and the Netflix originals and just throw the rest of the stuff out or whatever it might be.
Right.
That's the same thing with this live sports stuff. Like, I don't think Pac-12 Network can do well as a standalone service. Otherwise, there would be so much demand for Pac-12 Network that it would be on DirecTV. I just don't see it has that power.
And other cable networks, they care about the national, right? They don't want to win the LA market or the Seattle market. They want to win the whole U.S. And because almost everybody who watches the Pac-12 lives on the West Coast,
yep.
A major national network isn't as interested. But if you're just selling to the West Coast, you can cater your product to the West Coast, and that makes you a more efficient advertiser and lets you fan serve a lot better because you can do things like control kickoff times and that's the one that pops to mind, but other things that you can do to really target the, you know, surfer dude Pac-12 bro.
I think the Pac-12 network needs to get on more than just Sling. I'm sorry.
Yes. Hulu's and I think that's going to happen. And PlayStation View—that's their hope.
Like,
yeah.
I just don't know what's holding them back because it's subscribers that count, right? Well, go get on all those streaming things that all the millennials and the cord cutters are going to right now, and get on there because then you might build a fan base.
Yeah, I think that the sort of Scott strategy started off in the right way and then just hasn't followed through, and hasn't been keeping up with the pace of change and trying to say, look, we're going to be the most modern, most quote-unquote millennial sports network and the easiest to watch and the one that you don't have to also pay for, you know, Food Network and Nick Jr. to watch.
I like those channels.
I do too, but most, you know, I pay a ton of money for my Xfinity phone, home security, smart network, all that stuff all at once. I'm a bundler, but not everybody is. And not every college sports fan is. They're typically a little bit lower budget, a little bit younger, and they're looking, well, I just want to watch this. I don't care about anything else. And that's the...
But that's why they need to be on the streaming products, because that's where they're at.
Yeah.
But either way... I mean, I kind of don't know how to put a button on this, but the fact of the matter is we're running out of time.
Yeah, I mean, we can talk about this for so long, and I think what's going to happen is we're going to come back. But and we're going to talk about it more. We've got more stuff to talk about with money. We've got to talk about performance. We've got to talk about local coverage. I mean, this is going to be the May and June, the meat of this is talking about the markets and the industry. And I think it's interesting stuff, and I hope you guys like it, and tell us if you do.
Tell us if you don't.
Yeah, but come back. I mean, we're going to come back and we're going to talk about all that stuff. But the big picture is to recognize that the Pac-12 network and the ratings and the TV situation is in a little bit of a crisis. And the executives are clearly and even publicly a little freaked out. And that's because we're running out of time to turn the Pac-12 into the kind of network that the SEC and Big Ten are, and that what we really need to see is some big performance by flagship programs soon, really soon. And that runs directly counter to what Utah fans want and to what a lot of people's expectations are about next year, which is that the flagship programs are going to have a lot of trouble beating the also-rans, or who are supposed to be the also-rans. And I think that's kind of today. And we'll see you guys next week, and we'll do more.
Yep. More coming your way. More Ute Talk podcast.
Yeah.
Go Utes.
Go Utes.